I'm going to do a character study with you today on Joseph, Jesus' father. And I think probably we could say Joseph is one of the most overlooked people in all of the Bible. You know, you get a lot about Mary, Jesus, and rightly so. We don't mean that they don't deserve it, but man, Joseph played a great role. And I want to talk to you about Joseph a little bit today. Let's read together in Matthew chapter number 1. Beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Would you skip down with me now in chapter 2 to verse 13? And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Now down to verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word and the time we have to consider it today. Lord, we ask that you would speak through your word, because we, your servants, here. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to be conformed to the image of Christ through the Word. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I think it is a very significant thing that even as God chose Mary to be the one who would give birth to the Son of God, so in His mighty providence, He chose Joseph to be a father to Jesus and to raise Him into manhood. Mary and Joseph were chosen together. I don't believe that God just happened to come across Mary one day and decide, well, okay, I guess she'll do, and the timing's probably about right, so let's get this thing started. Do you think that's how Mary became the mother of Christ? I don't think that's what happened. And I also don't believe that since she was just happened to be espoused to Joseph, that all of heaven had a consensus and decided, well, this will do as well. I mean, that's how we do things, but I don't think that's how it happened in God's providence. You know, we would have had a board of stewards meeting. Brother Ken or I would have presented to the board, listen, we know Mary's going to do this work and she's sweet on Joseph. How do y'all feel about him? You know, is he okay? We've looked over his credentials. We think he's a carpenter. That should work, right? I don't believe that's how it happened in heaven. I think that just as much as Mary was special, I think Joseph was just as special. God in his sovereignty created and formed Mary and Joseph to be the earthly mother and father for his son, Jesus Christ. So I want to look together, and if you would look with me for a few minutes at some things the Bible tells us about this man, Joseph. Let's begin first by saying that Joseph was a loving man. Surely he was a loving man. The scriptures draw the picture for us of a wonderfully caring and affectionate man. Joseph was loving toward Mary. If you would flip back with me to chapter 1, verse number 19, we see that it says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was loving toward Mary. Have you ever been out in public and one spouse embarrasses the other spouse before other people? That's never good. That never goes over well for anybody. It's awkward for everybody else around. Who are like, what do we do with that? Do we get mad at him for saying that? Or do we cry for her that he said that? Or vice versa, whichever spouse does this. Joseph was a loving man. He had every right to make a public example out of Mary based on their relationship and the circumstances around it at that time. But he was a loving man and he did not make a public example out of her. He found out that even before they were married that she is expecting a child. And the best excuse that Mary could come up with is that this child is of the Lord. That's convenient, isn't it? At this point in the text, Joseph has had no great revelation. Now he will. The angel will come to him and speak to him and explain all of this, but it hasn't happened yet. So what is he to think? What would you think? The person you're engaged to be married to told you that, I know this. I know how this looks, but what would you think? This is not a good thing, right? I think it would make me feel angry. I think it would make me feel betrayed. The penalty for this kind of behavior, adultery, in the Old Testament was death by stoning. And the penalty applied to this infidelity also during betrothal. Even before God spoke to Joseph, he didn't have any vengeance or bitterness in his heart because he was a loving man. The Bible says he was minded to put her away privately. Joseph, Jesus' soon-to-be father, was a loving man. He loved Mary. Husbands, the Bible says to us today that we must love our wives with all that we have. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The example is that we must love our wives sacrificially, even as Christ loved the church and laid down his life sacrificially for the church. So we see Joseph as a loving man toward Mary. Joseph was also a loving man toward Jesus. When the child came along, this child that he had not conceived, there was no attitude in Joseph that this boy is not my flesh and blood. There was no resentment or indifference toward baby Jesus. There was no lack of love at all. Joseph adopted Jesus as his very own. He protected him from the hatred of Herod. Do you realize the great sacrifice Joseph went to run off to Egypt? This was a big, big undertaking to just think about it in your life, and it's more in theirs, but just in your life. Can you imagine what it would be to pack up your house, leave your job, and go to another country? It'd be a big deal. He protected Jesus this way. He nurtured him. He cared for them. I think we all could agree that he taught Jesus his trade, his carpenter. Joseph adopted the one that the rest of the world would come to reject. He's a very loving man. Praise God for those who will, no matter what, take care of their family. Do you know what the Bible says about that? 1 Timothy, Paul writes there to Timothy in chapter 5, verse 8, and he says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Can you imagine that? I mean, you would think it would say something like, "Timothy, if you preach heresy, then you are denying the faith and you're worse than an infidel." But that's not what Paul says at all. Paul says to Timothy very specifically here, anybody who does not provide for his own house is denying the faith. That's a big burden. It's a lot of pressure. Worse than an unbeliever. I would imagine that many of you are sitting in church today because your father was more like Joseph, Jesus' father, loved you enough to take care of you and see to it that you grew up in church. Might have been a mother for you or an aunt, but somebody. But it's Father's Day. So we see Joseph was a loving man. Second, Joseph was a devout man. He was a man who obeyed God. He explicitly followed the Lord's leading and direction. Now, God, you want me to do what now? Can you imagine the instructions he was given here? I mean, you and I, we pray for God's will, but we hope that it'll lead to prosperity, popularity, prestige, a good life. We want to live the good life. That's the American way, isn't it? God's instruction to Joseph meant you're going to have to be very private with your new marriage. You're going to have to marry someone that everybody else is going to look down on. Scarlet letter type thing, you know. You're going to need to move out of the country. You're going to need to pack up your business. You're going to need to leave your earthly family. This was God's will for Joseph's life, and still he obeyed. He explicitly followed the Lord's leading. He didn't follow his own marked out plan for life. He wanted God's plan for his life. So when God spoke to him in a dream and told him to wed Mary, even though she was pregnant, he obeyed. Then when God spoke and said, take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt for safety, he immediately obeyed. He closed up his business and he left. Then when God said, it's okay now, go back, he again did as he directed. Do you think he just went down there to Egypt and sat by the Nile River, sipped lemonade for that time? No, he probably already set up some sort of business down there to provide for his family. He had already packed up once and shut down that business. He moves to Egypt. He no doubt sets up business again, and now he's got to pack it up again and go back just so some scripture can be fulfilled. Ugh. Tired of moving. How many of you have ever said that? I'm never moving again. Have you said that before? You move from one place to the other. I'm never moving again. Oh, man, I've said that before multiple times. Joseph was a man of obedience. Joseph was a man of faith. It takes faith. It takes big faith to pack your bags and to head off to a foreign country with no prospects and no planning. I hold missionaries in high esteem. Do you guys hold missionaries in high esteem? When a person says, I feel like God has called me to this place, and we're going to abandon our lives here so that we can go serve God in this place. Oh, man. They're top of my list. Well, this is not the same, it's sort of the idea, but not exactly the same idea. But in this instance, there wasn't even prospects there for them, and there was no planning involved. It was just, hey, tomorrow you should go to Egypt. Okay. And tomorrow they got up and went to Egypt. What a unique thing. Well, on what basis? Because God said to. He had faith. He obeyed the dream. He could have made excuses to stay where the prospects looked good. We do that, don't we? Lord, I get it. I know that you're telling me I should go here, but I feel like we'll be safer here. This is where I can provide. If we go to Egypt, they may kill us. If we go to Egypt, I don't know how to earn money there. If we go to Egypt, we might starve on the way. We do that same thing in this world today, don't we? Lord, I feel like you're wanting me to do this, but if I do that, as if we're trying to inform God on something he doesn't understand in our day and our time. Because, you know, he's up in heaven, and we're having to live the life down here, right? See, you grew up thinking that way toward your parents. How many of you as a teenager said something along these lines, or you've had a teenager say something along, you don't understand what it's like now, right? And I'll be honest, I'm not too awful far removed from being a teenager. I'm getting farther removed, but I'm not too awful far removed, but I don't think I do understand what it's like to be a teenager now. But I do know what it was like in my time. But God's not that way. God doesn't need to be informed. God doesn't need to be educated. He is all-knowing. He's very aware. So he sends them away, and Joseph took faith and obeyed. He could have made excuses, but no, he was a man of faith, and he walked with God. Men, your faith speaks to your children. And I'll take that a step further. Men, your faith speaks to the children of this church. You may not realize that, but I've got 4 little boys, 2 of them who can talk pretty good. And they know every one of your names. They know this is bad, but they know if you're here at church or if you're not. We'll be having Sunday lunch. And even little Thomas sometimes will say, Dad, where was so-and-so today? Like, don't worry about it. It's none of your business. Just leave them alone. They're going to grow up to be little deacons running around in everybody's business. Your faith speaks to your children. Raise them in an environment of faith toward God. And if you're here today and you have a dad or had a dad who showed you real faith, be thankful for that. There was a farmer who had toiled over a crop. It was a badly needed crop. It was a crop that was going to pay off many debts and secure the family for another year. And just a few days before it was due to be harvested, a large wind and hailstorm ravaged his property and the harvest was lost. The man stood by with his little boy looking over the fields of destroyed crop, and the boy expected to hear his father cursing in despair. But instead, his dad began to softly sing, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Years later, that boy, grown into manhood, said this, "That was the greatest sermon I ever heard." His father had shown him faith. Joseph was a man of faith. And then we see Joseph was a man of duty. He set an example for his family. What happened to Jesus when he was 12 years old? Do you remember? He got left. They got down the road after church one Sunday, and they said, "Well, where is Jesus? Where is that boy?" And Mary said, "Joseph, you've lost the Son of God." Bad day, right? Poor Joseph. I'm being silly. But what can we really learn from that? Joseph set an example for his family by going to the temple, by attending the feasts. Notice chapter 2, verse 41. I'm sorry, wrong book of the Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Let me just read it for you. You're in Matthew. Just stay in Matthew. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Every year. For you, that'd be like every Sunday. It was a big deal. It took some time. They did it. Joseph was a man of duty. There was a little boy playing on a Sunday morning while his dad was in his recliner reading the paper. And the dad said to him, "Son, it's time to get yourself ready for Sunday school." And the boy said, "Were you coming today, Dad?" And he said, "No, I'm not coming. But you hurry up and get ready." So the little boy said, "Did you used to go to Sunday school when you were a little boy?" And he said, "I most certainly did, and you're going too." And so the boy walked off to obey his dad, but under his breath he mumbled, "Yeah, and I bet it won't do me any good either." Children are watching your faithfulness. Joseph was a man of duty, and it set an example of faithfulness to his duty before his family. So Joseph was a loving man. He was a devout man. Finally, we see that Joseph was a wise man. Joseph was wise in that he obeyed God, in that he lived his faith before his family, in that he was devout, but also because he redeemed the time. By all accounts, it seems that Joseph had a short life. We don't read of him after Jesus' childhood. At the cross, Jesus charged John with care of their mother. So it seems that Joseph was taken from them prematurely. But Joseph used the time he had wisely. He had provided for his family. He had set an example for them that they could remember. He had raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You study the family throughout Scripture, you'll know that Jesus was not the only child that Joseph had. He raised other boys for the Lord also, and possibly daughters as well. He had other sons, at least two, who were greatly used of God. They wrote books of the Bible, James and Jude. James becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem after the glory days. Once the persecution sets in heavy, once the poverty sets in heavy, once everybody else decides God's calling me on the mission field, James stays home with this group and leads them through persecution and poverty right there in Jerusalem. What a great, great man. Great man. You read the book of James and it'll put you under the pew. It's a wonderful writing. Joseph, a wise man, raised his children in the ways of the Lord. He left a legacy after his lifetime. You know, none of us here today know exactly how much time we have left with our families. You may have a year, you may have five, you may have 10. Who knows? Only God knows. Are we using our time as Joseph did, encouraging our families at every opportunity, setting the example and providing for their needs? Men, I ask you today, are you wise? Are you devout? Are you loving with your families? Families, I ask you today, do you appreciate the good men that you have in your life, like Joseph. Wives, can you imagine how thankful Mary was for her husband? By all rights, civil and religious, Mary should have been stoned and killed. Her life should have been over as a young girl. But this man loved her and protected her, took care of her at home and away. Wives, I can imagine you're thankful for the men in your lives. Almighty God arranged all of our fathers for us. Wives, your husbands for you. Children, your fathers for you. You thank God today by appreciating Dad. So happy Father's Day.